Amen. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your goodness and your love, and we just pray you just meet with us this morning, be our teacher. And Lord, we just thank you that you care for us, you give us instruction, you give us insight, you fill us with your spirit, that we can carry out the things you desire. And Lord, I pray you just anoint me, I'd be able to speak things of the Spirit, and pray you just open each heart to receive of the Spirit. So we give all things to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We'll be looking at Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Also, I want to send out a welcome to Sammy and Gracie Nala, okay, and their cousins. I'm sorry. They come here. So Sammy and Gracie are from India, and they oversee several churches there. And so going to be here part of the Dove Conference, the Dove International Conference. So it's such a pleasure to have them visit here and visit their cousins. I would imagine they don't make a lot of trips back and forth to India, so I'm sure they're having a good time together. So anyway, welcome. Glad to have you all here. Galatians 6:1 says this: Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. This verse, my humble opinion here, should never just be caught on by itself. It just shouldn't. And even in the best situations, you know, when people teach on particular verses like this, and what it can lead to is that people that is a form of legalism, a form of, you know, somebody watching out other people, setting up some kind of standard, and hey, say, you're doing that wrong, you're doing that right. And so it can really lead to a judgmental attitude, even when it's preached with the, you know, purest of heart. And it's just one of those things where you call and says believers are to walk along with one another, which is great. But then when we start calling out other people's faults, it just doesn't work very well, okay? And unfortunately, the church and religion, in general, church and religion are known for those things. But of course, that's not what it means. And so what it's important here is we've been going through the book of Galatians, is that Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 has to be taken in context with the first five chapters, okay? When you're going to teach on chapter 6, you know, you think, okay, this is the beginning of the book, chapter 6, verse 1. It is not the beginning of the book. So you need the five chapters before to get a good feel of what the Lord is saying in this verse here and the next few verses. So what we want to look at this and try to see what the Lord is saying and how it is important to us. Now, also what we'll see in the next few verses, that when it says, you know, be able to, those who are spiritual, you know, to restore someone caught in any transgression. But when you see the next few verses, you see that the concern, let me put it this way. What you see in the first five chapters, what we read in the first five chapters coming up to this point, is the primary concern of the Apostle Paul was people exchanging grace for the law. That was his concern, all right? That's the big thing. And so also with that, he was concerned of people exchanging grace for the law. He was also concerned that people were neglecting the ministry of the Holy Spirit. That's his concern. So remember how we started in Galatians? He goes, I'm astonished. I can't believe it. You're trading grace for the law. And then he goes on and says, my goodness gracious, he calls us Christians, and, you know, today he says senseless Christians. You know, he is so, you know, concerned about exchanging grace for the law and also for neglecting the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And so, therefore, we need to, we see that the dominant transgression being addressed here in the book of Galatians as a whole, the dominant transgression being addressed here is legalism and denying the work of the Holy Spirit. That's what's on Paul's mind, all right? And when he ends, the second to the last verse in Galatians chapter 5 is this: if you live by the Spirit, you keep in step with the Spirit. All right? So there's a context. So you keep in step. If you're in step with the Spirit, are you in any transgression? So the issue is keeping step with the Spirit. So that's kind of the background And that, not kind of, that is the background in Galatians, the first five chapters. Now he just moves into chapter 6, verse 1. By the way, we all know in the originals, there's no chapters. Okay, there's no verses. It's a letter. So it all flows, and it flows in this. So then we look at that, and we get a context of how we're to walk alongside people that are caught up, out of step with the Holy Spirit. So what I want to look at these, I want to just kind of look at these words here so we can get an idea. And it says here, you know, brothers, if anyone is caught in a transgression, that means trapped, you know, caught, trapped. So in context with the first five chapters, is being caught in any transgression means being out of step with the Holy Spirit. So you're out of step with the Holy Spirit, therefore you're caught in a transgression. Why? Because you're out of step with the Holy Spirit. Amen? You see what I'm saying here? Not like, you did this wrong and you need to fix this. That may be true, but that's not what he's talking about. You're out of step with the Holy Spirit. Therefore, it's leading you in this area. The issue is being out of step with the Holy Spirit. Excuse me. And so then he goes on to say, you who are spiritual, restore him. You know, I can just kind of pop my buttons and say, I'm spiritual. I'll take care of this. Now, even me saying it gives me chills, like lightning could strike me in any moment, all right? But it does go ahead, so it's a warning there, those who are spiritual should restore. So what is he saying? What is chapter 5 all about? What is it all about? The Holy Spirit. So he's saying here, those who are spiritual are those who are responsive to and controlled by the Holy Spirit. So when you're looking to restore someone, they're out of step with the Holy Spirit. And so that those that are in step with the Holy Spirit, controlled by the Holy Spirit and responsive to the Holy Spirit, they are the ones to step up and to address someone so that they can get back in step with the Holy Spirit. You see how this is pulled out of legalism and pulled into relationship? It's a powerful relationship. And then the whole thing about the one who is spiritual is to restore him, to restore him. And so what? Restore him to what? You did this wrong, don't do it anymore, therefore you're restored. That's legalism. No, you're to restore him to his or her walk with the Holy Spirit, so that he is in step with the Holy Spirit. Therefore, he will not be out of step and in a transgression, whatever that may be. But see the picture? But chapter 5 is huge in chapter 6, verse 1. And I don't think anyone should be teaching on Galatians 6, 1 unless they bring chapter 5 into the context here. And then it says, you know, to do it in the spirit of gentleness. And this means just the spirit of gentleness means to exhibit, you know, that there's not any exhibit of superiority. Like, okay, I'm superior. I'm spiritual. By the way, by definition, you're not. No, it's not. You come alongside. You're not like that. You're concerned about somebody to walk with them so they can get in step. Not with you, or under your judgment, but in step with what God's showing them. Now, so we have that picture. Now, doesn't that put a different twist to verse 1? Instead of saying, find the issue, address the issue, and have them correct the issue. Technically, that's good. Technically, that's legalism. See, it's something different when it's based on chapter 5. It's on chapter 5. And it has to do with grace and the ministry of the Holy Spirit, which is the Apostle Paul's primary concern in the book of Galatians. So, with this powerful teaching of this new life in Christ, we are encouraged to come alongside of those who are out of step with the Holy Spirit and to restore them into spiritual wholeness. Since the issue is one's relationship with the Holy Spirit, the Bible spends greater time on the ones called to restore the transgressor than he does the transgressor. See, he doesn't spend a lot of time on the transgressor, like you did this, you did this. No, he spends more time on the one who is called to walk alongside and help the transgressor. He's more concerned about the one called to restore, because that's where it gets messed up. Well, somebody has transgressed, it's a mess. No, what the mess is, when somebody comes to restore and does it in a judgmental way or in a wrong way, that becomes the issue, because it represents the entire church. It represents the body of Christ. You follow what I'm saying? See, when somebody messes up, they're out of step. They say, man, out of step. You know, typical. That's what we all do that. But when one representing the church or Christ comes in and spiritually abuses or uses legalism to address, then all of a sudden, man, that church is harsh. That church is legalistic. I don't want to go to be a part of that. See, when somebody messes up, they go, yeah, I've been messing up. You know, they messes like everybody else I know. They're messing up. That's not unusual. But the crime there is the one who comes to restore, representing Christ and the church. And he does it in a self-righteous, non-spiritual way. So it's important to know. Important to know what? If the guy's out of step with the Holy Spirit, then someone in step with the Holy Spirit can come alongside and communicate spiritual wholeness, where that person will be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and walk with the Holy Spirit. And say, man, there's a lot of love and spirit going on in that place. See, so it's a communication of the entire church. Now, so basically, and looking for words here, basically the correctors should spend as much time on keeping an eye on themselves as they do the offender. It's like, okay, I got to focus on me and how to come and help the offender out here. We must guard against religion and legalism, which is devastating. And that's what the book of Galatians is about. Therefore, anytime we help restore someone, the lessons of the Holy Spirit from chapter 5 should be foremost in our mind. Amen? I ain't getting a big amen on that. You're going, I don't know about that. Okay. You see what I'm saying? So it's how we walk with each other. It's how we walk with each other. Now, and kind of summarize it a little bit. Who are the spiritual to help others to spiritual wholeness? And again, this is the word the Apostle Paul uses. Isn't it interesting that he uses those who are spiritual, not those who have graduated seminary, those who have memorized the book of Galatians, you know, those who are those that are spiritual. That's what he said. I want somebody's heart right on this thing. It's not what they know, it's who they are and their walk with Christ, okay? So who are the spiritual to help others into spiritual wholeness? Again, they are the ones, the spiritual, based on the scripture, are the ones who practice chapter 5. And we've been through chapter 5. We're not going to go back over it. But they're the ones who practice chapter 5. And just kind of a little summary here. Number one, the spiritual are those that are led by the Spirit and not under the law. That's Galatians 5:18. So we have to assume. So who's spiritual? They're led by the Spirit and they're not under the law. Therefore, they will not put others under the law. See, if I'm led by the Spirit and not under the law, I'm not going to come alongside by somebody and say, you're wrong, you better shape up, you better do this, or we're kicking you out of the place. That's the law. So we're going to come, if we're led by the Spirit, not under the law, we're going to come along somebody and try to get them and encourage them to be in step with the Spirit, hear from the Spirit, and then their attitudes will adjust and we'll walk with them, and then they will grow in the Spirit hearing from God. See? So when someone comes alongside to walk with somebody, you go, okay, God, I need a word. I need some wisdom. This is holy ground. Amen? Holy ground. So number one, They are led by the Spirit, they're not under law. Chapter 5:18. Also, they will, and I just said this, they will help others connect with the Holy Spirit in order that the Holy Spirit will lead them. You see the difference in that, in saying, this is what you did, this is wrong, and you better shape up. Is different than saying you will help others connect with the Holy Spirit in order that the Holy Spirit will lead them. You're connecting them, engaging them to engage spiritually, to follow their heart and be transformed, and then to move from within and change their ways because of their relationship with the Lord. It's huge. So it's how you approach, and you're coming with the power of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. Sure, the issue will come up, but sure, the solution comes with, hey, what is your time with Christ? How are you being led by the Spirit? How is this consistent with what the Spirit is doing? And so a whole vision, whole approach is different. And then third, based on Galatians 5:22 and after, it says, the third thing, they will manifest the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, kindness. So you come across somebody, you put your arm around them, the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, kindness. Brother and sister, let me walk with you through this and see what God's speaking, see what the Holy Spirit is showing us. The whole thing changes. You gotta communicate Galatians 6:1 with chapter 5. To have it work where the church is really aware of things and wants to keep people's eyes on the Lord, but it doesn't become judgmental. It doesn't become legalistic. It becomes an element, place of kindness, joy, restoring all those in their relationship with the Lord. Now, so those three points. Now, that's verse 1. Now, so we have that in our mind. Now, let's flow through the next four verses. And so it's fascinating because what the Apostle Paul is telling us, what he's saying, is that we really are supposed to care enough about people to come alongside people and to encourage them in their walk, because we want everyone to do well, don't we? We want, and so he's helping us to help others, and he's helping those that people that walking with the Spirit are growing in the Lord, examine their own heart, can be able to help others in a loving and kind way. Loving and kind way. So we have here that God says you have a responsibility. Galatians 6:2. You have a responsibility. It says this: bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. See, it just, now with the explanation we've talked about focusing on chapter 5 with verse 1, then you see how nicely this flows. Bear one another's burdens. Now, the word burden, it's key here. Burdens means heavy load. It's oppressive. You know, it's having somebody totally out of, and they're not just having a bad day. Okay, they didn't run the stoplight. You know, and then we're not talking. No, I mean, there's a burden. There's oppressiveness. And so it's a heavy, heavy burden. And so, therefore, we must help and bear their burdens. We're concerned, and so we're going to step and help bear their burdens and fulfill the law of Christ. All believers get overwhelmed, bound up in difficulties, and cause them to get out of step with the Lord. Amen. Amen. You know, sometimes, I just say this, hope it's humorous, but like I really do get up in the morning before I prepare a message, you know. And one of the reasons is so I can get in step. I've got the message. I don't get the message in the morning. I mean, I don't. I work through it on it all week and put it together and make some change. But I get up because I want to get in step. Meaning, I'm probably out of step, you know. Something's happened, you know. And so I try to spend time alone like that. And usually you come in, I don't greet many people. I'm over in the corner like that. I'm trying to stay in step. I just got to focus on that. I want to get out of step, you know. So I'm vulnerable to that. I got to tell you the funniest thing. We had a drummer. And years ago, a young kid, he's a real good drummer, Casey, y'all know Casey Hart, he's married now, not that he was, but anyway, he's a drummer. And so he asked me, he says, why you get up so early? So I basically told him that, you know, because I'm out of step, I will make sure, not as, I will make sure I'm in step with the Lord and that I'm focused on him and that I can share with others. He says, well, I can sleep in because I have a good relationship with the Lord. You know. So there's a truth to that. There is a truth to that. So some of us have to get up earlier than others in one time. Now, so but you hear, but what we're doing here is that we're applying, we bear in other people's burdens, and we apply the law of Christ. What's the law of Christ? Guess where it tells us? Galatians 5. Chapter 5 tells us, Galatians 5:14. And I'm just going to summarize here. It says, the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's the law of Christ. You love other people. You love your neighbor as yourself. Therefore, you need to bear their burdens. You need to be concerned about them. You don't want them to hurt. You don't want them to not be able to get out of the situation there. And you need to come alongside them. Now, when somebody is out of step with the Holy Spirit, we should never think we're too good, we're too spiritual to come alongside and restore them into spiritual wholeness. And what's me? It's like you look at somebody and you think, man, that's a train wreck, you know? Well, don't just back off. I don't want anything of that. Oh, my gosh. This is, you know, I can see nothing good out of this. I'm just waiting you back. No, that means that as much as they'll let you in, as much as you're led by the Spirit, as much as you can, you come alongside and try to be an encouragement. Brother, love you. Can I talk with you? You know, you're doing all right. And so you lead, but you're leading. You won't then be in step the whole thing. You're checking, you know, with that, but you're doing it out of love. And again, this is a lifestyle. This behavior is not like just having a bad day. And that's what it says. Now we flow in Galatians 6:3. It says, for if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. What that means is like, now I ain't getting involved in that. That's too messy for me. That's their issue. If it's right with the Lord, they'd do better. Yeah, no, don't do that. See, because you're deceiving yourself. You're thinking you're something above that, like nothing ever happens to you. I was looking at this in the Amplified Bible, and I like the way it says on this verse, because what the Amplified Bible is, it amplifies, okay? And it says this on this verse, and it goes, for if any person thinks himself to be somebody too important to condescend to shoulder another's load, when he is nobody of superiority except in his own estimation, he deceives and deludes and cheats himself. Gosh, that's heavy. But that's what it's saying. You think you're too good to be involved, or too spiritual, you're above this, you know. And God said, don't do that. So the implication seems to be that a Christian deceives himself if he neglects to bear another's burden, meaning that the Christian should never think the situation is beneath him. So we must humble ourselves and come alongside others. Now, above all, when we're coming alongside others, we have to examine our own heart. Then we can be loving, kind, and helping others carry their burden. I mean, you go, you want to help somebody, and after they talk to you, they got a heavier burden than they had before you came. Yeah, you don't want to do that. You know, it's like, oh gosh, can't wait to talk to them. You know, think you feel bad now. Wait till you talk to him. You're going to really feel worse. You know? No, you're trying to uplift and walk with somebody, be an encouragement to someone. A great verse for this that that we all should apply in when we approach anybody or anything in our life is Psalms 139, 23 to 24. Love this psalm. And we should, you probably should pray it every, we should pray it every morning. But definitely, when we're going and trying to encourage someone up else that's carrying a heavy burden and it's leading them some transgression. And it says this, Psalms 139 says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, know my thoughts, and see if there's any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. See, you're dealing with this, God, you search their heart. Lord, you get them right. Lord, you get them on the... That's not how you go in. You go, Lord, search my heart. Because I know, you know, I can't see like you see. I know I got hang-ups. I know there's stuff that I'm not clear. So you search my heart. You be my teacher. You let me carry, you know, your good news, your power to someone else that they would be encouraged. And so you're, again, you're on holy ground. And so you move into the situation. You move into the situation so that what you're doing is you're bringing Christ into it because someone's out of step with the Spirit. And you're trying to be in step with the Spirit to encourage them to be in step with the Spirit. Amen? Huge difference. Attitude is tremendously different. And again, if you don't connected to chapter 5, you're going to miss this. I don't care. You isolate 6:1 and preach it, it'll come out as legalism every time. I don't care how sweet it is. It'll come out as legalism. So here we have, in any situation though, so we must test our own motives honestly before the Lord. It says in Galatians 6:4. It says, but let each one of you test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. What he's saying is, I'm going to test my heart, and what comes, it's just between me and you. God, this is between me and you, and I have to step in what you're showing me, and I have to step. If I bared my heart to you and go into your direction, and it doesn't make any difference, or nor I'm motivated by anybody else. This is between me and you. And Glenn, again, I looked at the Amplified. It's so funny to look at the Amplified, you know, like this is two lines on my iPad. Amplified, it's six. Okay, I mean, really Amplified. Okay, here's what it says in Amplified. Just interesting. But let every person carefully scrutinize and examine and test his own conduct and his own work. He can then have the personal satisfaction and joy of doing something commendable in itself alone without resorting to boastful comparisons with anyone else. So just a chance to go, you got to go before the Lord. This has got to go before the Lord. And your heart is encouraged. Your heart purely wants to help someone else. Your heart has to be purified before God so God can move through you to be encouraged someone else who's struggling. Again, they're carrying a load. They're carrying a load. Now, so we must let our direction and praise come from God alone, not man. And that's the thing. God, this is before you. I know what you want to do. And so in fear and trembling, we just move gently into walk along somebody to help them carry their burden. Carry their burden that they can come out of it, put them back in, have them back in step with the Lord. So we do this before God alone. And it's like Jesus said, what Jesus said. Jesus says, we must deal with the plank in our own eye before we try to deal with the splinter in another's eye. It's funny how he puts that. He says, man, this guy is really out of step. Yeah, he is. He has a splinter in his eye. And by the way, you have a plank. You know, ain't no way you're going to help him. You know? See, if the tables are turned. But what he's saying there is, no, you look at that. And somebody told me this one time. I never thought, I thought it was interesting. But you know, a splinter, you see some a splinter in somebody's eye, you're looking at it. And when you take that same splinter and put it real close to your eye, that thing, it's a plank. So you're doing the same thing, but you can't see because it's so close. It gets bigger when you put it in your eye. But you say, that's splinter. I'm going to deal with that. No, if you look at plank, that is a plank in your eye. And so it's what is it? It's you've got to go before the Lord. Search me, O God. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Know my thoughts. All right? So it's serious. It's serious that we need to think about this. Now, so we must, so it is a result of that, and this is kind of how, and so this is how Paul ends this section is this, about examining our heart, the splinter in our own, the plank in our own eye instead of the splinter in someone else. And this is how he states it, which is interesting. Galatians 6:5. For each will have to bear his own load. Now that, you just think that's how he just kind of puts it in there. And by the way, load. Interesting, in some Bibles, verse 1, burden, and verse 5, load, are translated some same way. Burden. So it looks like, well, you said you carry their burden, now you have to carry your own burden. Those are two different words. Absolutely two different words. Verse 1 is a heavy load. And here in verse 5, it's a light load. It's like a backpack. It's a backpack. Carry your own backpack. You know, help them with their heavy load, but you got to carry your own backpack. But and so again, the Amplified has a great looking at this and amplifying this verse. And it says, for every person will have to bear and be equal to understanding his own little load. You got to understand your own little load, because we don't think we have a load. We know they got a load, but we don't think we have it. He's okay. You need to understand your own little load before you ever help anybody with a big load. See, but that's that plank splinter perspective that he has there. So what we have here, it's the duty of every Christian to carry his own load. What do you mean? The issues we're dealing with. He recognizes right up front, we are dealing with issues. And so we understand that issues. Although we want to help someone else, we may be in step with the Spirit, but we're dealing with our own issues. All of us are. Therefore, a Christian needs to be in step with the Holy Spirit in order to come alongside and help others. To be in step with the Holy Spirit. Amen? Now that's what he took those five verses to say. All right? And when you read through it, it's kind of cryptic. But when you look at that, and again, and I want to emphasize this, you should never teach those five verses alone. One should never study those five verses alone. Okay? Because I know whatever you do, when you do that, you're going to pull them out of the context in which they were written. And especially because it's talking, you coming along someone else and addressing someone else. And you just read those alone. And what you come away with is, I just got to come up and confront them. God told me to confront them. See, that's error. That's error. Because it's a partial truth. It's a partial truth. It's not the complete truth. He's saying what? You should come alongside someone that's out of step with the Holy Spirit. And you need to be in step with the Holy Spirit to help them to get back in step with the Holy Spirit. It's based on chapter 5. Actually, it's based on the first chapters, all five chapters. But it's based on chapter 5. And so we need to understand that. And again, 6:1. One verse above it, actually two verses above it, second to the last verse in chapter 5. And again, forget there's no verses in the original, so you forget that. So there's no chapter 5 and there's no chapter 6. So what it says, it just flows in chapter 5 on verse 25, 525. You live by the Spirit, keep in step with the Spirit. Oh, by the way, those who are spiritual, restore those who are out of step. That's how it flows. There's no big pop, break there. So this is real helpful. What? To keep a church walking in love, walking filled with the Spirit, and walking along people, encouraging them to walk in the Spirit and be filled with the Spirit. And no judgment. There's no judgment. Why? Because we're dealing with that plank in our own eye before we do anything. And we're saying, God, search me, search my own heart. Know me, know my ways. So we're recognizing our weakness before the Lord, yet we're also recognizing our strength from the Lord. Amen? It's powerful. It's powerful. All right. Now, taking all that, let me just kind of summarize it. Kind of summarize it here. Bottom line. And this is the flow with chapter 5. By the way, If y'all didn't join us with going over chapter 5, chapter 5 is a lot of fun, all right? Talking about the Holy Spirit. It's powerful in the whole package there. So here we are. We want to wrap this up. And in a way, it's not wrapping up. It's not wrapping up the book of Galatians. It has some interesting things to share. But it's taking everything we've learned in Galatians. Basically, it's taking everything we've learned in Galatians and saying, now that we have that, this is how we can walk it out and encourage others. That's kind of what these verses are doing. So bottom line, only those who are practicing the lessons of the Holy Spirit taught in Galatians 5 should help others practice the lessons of the Holy Spirit taught in Galatians 5. Amen? That's what it says. That is what it says. All right. God, I see, and as much as I can, I'm practicing what you taught me in Galatians 5. Keeping in step with the Spirit. And as much as you've taught me to keep in step with the Spirit and have my eyes on you, then I can come along others and help them to have their eyes on you and keep in the step with the Holy Spirit. And if I'm out of step with the Holy Spirit, how in God's green earth am I going to help somebody else get in step with the Holy Spirit? See? So we say, oh God, search my heart. Search my heart. Search my heart. And it says, you know, in 5:18 it says this, but if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. When you talk to someone, will they walk out and say, you know, I'm being led by the Spirit, and I'm not under the law? After spending time with them, I am so encouraged. And then also, in restoring others, see, when restoring others, we connect them to the Holy Spirit. That's what we do. We connect them to the, we don't say you're wrong, correct it. We connect them to the Holy Spirit, and through the Holy Spirit, he transforms them. And then also in restoring others, we demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit, 5:22, love, joy, peace, kindness, etc., okay? Amen? Now, hopefully, as we look at this, it helps us to think, that within a body, we all go through issues. Within a body, we all get off base. I mean, all of us do. And it's like, so, but we want to recognize that, and that's okay, because we're all growing in the Lord. But we also want to know, gosh, maybe we can walk alongside someone and encourage someone in their walk. And what we're doing is connecting them with the Holy Spirit that they'll keep in step with us. Holy Spirit, and that they will feel God's love, be encouraged by God, and have their focus on them, and feel that they're unburdened. We help them pull that burden off of them. They're unburdened. We didn't talk to them and put a burden on them. See? We pulled it off, walked with them, and released them the power of the Holy Spirit. Now that is a powerful Spirit-filled body and Spirit-filled church. Amen? That's what it's saying. That's what it's saying. A lot of times we preach to going through Galatians and it comes up because it says, you're not under the law, you're not under the law, you're not under the law, you're not. And it's like, well, where are the rules? How do you keep the rules, you know, and how you deal with situation? That's what he's telling us. This is how you deal with it. You come alongside. You point them to the Holy Spirit. You keep in step with the Holy Spirit. You encourage them to keep in the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says in Galatians 5, against such things there's no law. Why? Because you're in step with the Holy Spirit. That's what he's saying. See? So it's our connectedness, relationship with Christ, empowered by the Holy Spirit. But the body works together, walks together. Amen? Amen. And some of you may need to get up really early to do this. Some of you may be like Casey Hart and just, hey, you can sleep till 10. You know, that's all right. All right. We'll close right here. But remember, when helping others, we need to keep on message. We need to keep on message. And that's John 3:16. You've got, that's the foundation, you know. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Whoever believes him shall not perish, have eternal life. We keep on message. We keep Christ in the forefront. Christ gave him life, his life for us. He died for us. And so we keep on message, you know. That's the thing. And by the way, if you're dealing with someone outside the church, or you're dealing with someone who hasn't accepted Christ, this is the only message. You do not do chapter 6, 1 through 5. You do not do chapter 5. Okay, you do Galatians 3:16. This is the only message for those outside the church. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Whoever believes in him, he has eternal life. And until they receive that message, they have no capacity whatsoever to receive and walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. So we keep on message. Everything else flows from that. Amen. Amen. When we stand and they'll close out in the song, we'll have a prophetic team. We'll come up here and after the message and be minister prophetically. Anybody would like to come up, I encourage you to come up and do that. Thank you for being here.